Well, good morning.
Good morning.
On this Palm Passion Sunday. It is good to be with you. We are getting close to the end of the Lenten season and being ready for our celebration of Easter. And today is going to be that day where we take the preparation as we travel from the Palms to the Passion. So let's turn to our announcements before we get on this road to Jerusalem. There are so many announcements in here. I'm only going to do those that are really most important right now. Our Seder experience is being prepared. It's ready to go. This is the last day to sign up for it to make sure that we have everything that we need for our preparations. Just make sure if you haven't signed up and you want to come, the table will be right outside for you to do that. Also, the Lenten offering for VBS, you know, the last couple final weeks for doing that, so bring those offerings in for that so that we are ready to receive the many children in this summer's VBS program. Our Easter egg baskets that we are collecting for, today was the last day to bring stuff in, and we have estimating that we're going to have at least 14 baskets to give. So thank you for all that you've been bringing in for this ministry. Also, Easter Sunday, next Sunday, come and enjoy. We're having a light breakfast, homemade donuts and the like for us to kind of gather together from between 9 and 10 o'clock. And then at 10 o'clock, there's that Easter egg hunt for the kids, and then we will proceed to come and to be ready for worship at 10:30. So make sure you have that. And there's no Sunday school classes during for Easter Sunday, because we're all going to be fellowshipping together before we worship. The Jackson Area Ministry Project, continue to bring those in for another couple weeks. With that, let us prepare ourselves for our journey from the Palms to the Passion. Let's begin today by rising for the gospel message this morning. Please rise for the proclamation of the entry into Jerusalem. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that their master needs them." He sent them off right away. Now this happened to fulfill what the prophet said. Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the donkey's offspring. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them. Then he sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. Who is this? They asked. The crowds answered, it's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth and Galilee. And then Jesus went into the temple and threw out all those who were selling and buying there.
If you'd remain standing, please, for our call to worship, printed in the bulletin. Hosanna to the Son of David.
Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
And please remain standing for our opening hymn, All Glory, Loud and Honor, verses 1 through 4, and on number 280 in your hymnal, please. Thank you. You may be seated. Please join me in our opening prayer printed in our bulletin. Almighty God, On this day, your Son, Jesus Christ, entered the holy city of Jerusalem and was proclaimed king by those who spread their garments and palm branches along his way. Let those branches be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our Lord and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. In his name we pray. Amen. The children would come forward for the children's moments, please.
Hi, good morning.
Zoom, 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 zoom. Come on down.
So this is a busy week in the life of the church. Did you guys know that? So what is today?
Palm Sunday.
Today is Palm Sunday. And that's when Jesus came into Jerusalem. And everybody was so glad to see him. I mean, it was a big, big deal. And they didn't have time to have a picnic or have snacks or anything, but they just ran out and they threw down whatever they had. They threw down their coat. What do you think your mom would say if there was a parade and you threw down your coat? But they did, because they were so excited to see Jesus. Now, do you know why Jesus was in Jerusalem? So, you know, the Bible, I'm going to sit down here. The Bible is kind of like a puzzle, okay? And the Old Testament and the New Testament fit together. Did you guys know that? Yes. So in the Old Testament, way, way back, where the Egyptians were keeping the Jews as their slaves, and then Moses led them out. Remember all that story out of Egypt? Okay. So that then helped create the holiday that the Jews had called Passover. Did you guys know that? Yes, that is true. And Jesus came to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. Did you know Jesus was Jewish? That is also true.
Mm.
Yes. He was not a United Methodist. I'm just
clearing that up.
Check, okay, Jesus was Jewish. So on Passover, you have this special plate and you eat these foods. What do you think? And that's called a Seder. And that's what we're doing on Thursday. So how do you see how everything kind of fits together? That he came and he celebrated the Passover with his family and his friends. Well, then all this stuff happened during the week, and you're going to have to listen to the service to figure out what all happens. Some of it is very, very bad, and some of it is very, very good. Okay? Because sometimes you have to get through bad stuff to get to the good stuff. So we are going to pray, and then I have different treats. Dear Jesus, thank you for riding into Jerusalem, and thank you for going through everything that you went through on Holy Week. We cannot imagine the sacrifices you made for us, and we praise you for it. Amen. I know. Choices. Maybe too many. Too many choices. I know.
Thank you, Lynn.
Now, as we enter our time of receiving our tithes and offerings, we do have a reason to celebrate. We know the full story. It is in that story that we find ourselves, and we find how we are to respond in to order to keep this this church and to the message of Jesus Christ something that is active and alive in the world. It is through our offerings and tithes that we are able to continue to do that for the generations to come. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Let's join together in the prayer of dedication. We thank you, Christ Jesus, for your steadfast faithfulness and your humble leadership in our world. Bless the gifts we return to you now, that they may guide others to follow you and walk humbly in your ways. Amen. You may be seated. As we turn to the proclamation of the Passion story, I invite you to have your hymnals ready. We're going to be having a reading followed by a few verses of a hymn, and we will not be announcing them as we go. So just be following along and be ready. They're all within about, 20 pages, in maybe even less than that, except for the first one. Well, let us begin our journey of the Passion story. Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I turn Jesus over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver. From that time on, he was looking for an opportunity to turn him in. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover meal?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and say, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" The disciples did just as Jesus instructed them. They prepared the Passover. That evening, he took his place at the table with the 12 disciples. As they were eating, he said, "I assure you that one of you will betray me." Deeply saddened, each one said to him, "I'm not the one, am I, Lord?" He replied, "The one who will betray me is the one who dips his hand with me into this bowl. The human one goes to his death just as it is written about him. But how terrible it is for that person who betrays the human one. It would have been better for him if he had never been born." Now Judas, who would betray him, replied, "It's not me, is it, Rabbi?" Jesus answered, "You said it." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body." He took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, so that their sins may be forgiven. I tell you, I won't drink wine again until that day when I drink it in a new way with you in my Father's kingdom."
Then, after singing songs of praise, they went to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Tonight you will all fall away from me, all fall away because of me. This is because it is written, 'I will hit the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will go off in all directions.' But after I'm raised up, I'll go before you to Galilee." Peter replied, "If everyone else stumbles because of you, I'll never stumble." Jesus said to him, "I assure you that before the rooster crows tonight, you will deny me three times." Peter said, "Even if I must die alongside you, I won't deny you." All the disciples said the same thing. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. He said to the disciples, "Stay here while I go and pray over there." When he took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, he began to feel sad and anxious. Then he said to them, "I'm very sad. It's as if I'm dying. Stay here and keep alert with me." Then he went a short distance farther and fell on his face and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not what I want, but what you want." He came back to the disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "Couldn't you stay alert 1 hour with me? Stay alert and pray so that you won't give in to temptation. The spirit is eager, but the flesh is weak." A second time he went away and prayed, "My Father, if it's not possible that this cup be taken away unless I drink it, then let it be what you want." Again he came and found them sleeping. Their eyes were heavy with sleep. But he left them and again went and prayed the same words for the third time. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Will you sleep and rest all night? Look, the time has come for the human one to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's go. Look, here comes my betrayer." While Jesus was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came. With him was a large crowd carrying swords and clubs. They had been sent by the chief priests and elders of the people. His betrayer had given them a sign, "Arrest the man I kiss." Just then he came to Jesus and said, "Hello, Rabbi." Then he kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came and grabbed Jesus and arrested him. One of those with Jesus reached for his sword, striking the high priest's slave. He cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, "Put the sword back into its place. All those who use the sword will die by the sword. Or do you think that I am not able to ask my Father, and he will send to me more than 12 battle groups of angels right away? But if I did that, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that say this must happen?" Then Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come with swords and clubs to arrest me, like a thief? Day after day I sat in the temple preaching and teaching, but you didn't arrest me. But all this has happened so that what the prophets said in the scriptures will be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left Jesus and ran away.
Thank you.
those who arrested Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest. The legal experts and the elders had gathered there. Peter followed him from a distance until he came to the high priest's courtyard. He entered that area and sat outside with the officers to see how it would turn out. The chief priest and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they could put him to death. They didn't find anything they could use from the many false witnesses who were willing to come forward. But finally, they found two who said, "This man said, 'I can destroy God's temple and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood and said to Jesus, "Aren't you going to respond to the testimony these people have brought against you?" Jesus was silent. The high priest said, "By the living God, I demand that you tell us whether you are the Christ, God's Son." "You said it," Jesus replied. "But I say to you that from now on you'll see the human one sitting on the right side of the Almighty and coming on the heavenly clouds." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He's insulting God. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, you've heard this insult against God. What do you think?" And they answered, "He deserves to die." Then they spit in his face and beat him. They hit him and said, "Prophesy for us, Christ. Who hit you?" Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant woman came and said to him, "You were also with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it in front of all of them, saying, "I don't know what you are talking about." When he went over to the gate, another woman saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." With a solemn pledge, he denied it again, saying, "I don't know the man." A short time later, those standing there came and said to Peter, "You must be one of them. The way you talk gives you away." Then he cursed and swore, "I don't know the man." At that very moment, the rooster crowed. Peter remembered Jesus' words, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter went out and cried uncontrollably.
Early in the morning, all the chief priests and elders of the people reached the decision to have Jesus put to death. They bound him, led him away, and turned him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who betrayed Jesus, saw that Jesus was condemned to die, he felt deep regret. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders and said, "I did wrong because I betrayed an innocent man." But they said, "What is that to us? That's your problem." Judas threw the pieces of silver into the temple and left. Then he went and hanged himself. The chief priests picked up the silver pieces and said, "According to the law, it's not right to put this money in the treasury, since it was used to pay for someone's life. It's unclean." So they decided to use it to buy the potter's field where strangers could be buried. That's why that field is called the Field of Blood to this very day. This fulfilled the words of Jeremiah the prophet, "And I took the 30 pieces of silver, the price for which the one whose price had been set by some of the Israelites, and I gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me." Jesus was brought before the governor. The governor said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "That's what you say." But he didn't answer when the chief priests and elders accused him. Then Pilate said, "Don't you hear the testimony they bring against you?" But you didn't answer, not even a single word. So the governor was greatly amazed. It was customary during the festival for the governor to release to the crowd one prisoner, whomever they might choose. At that time, there was a well-known prisoner named Jesus Barabbas. When the crowd had come together, Pilate asked them, "Whom would you like me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" He knew that the leaders of the people had handed him over because of their jealousy. While he was serving as judge, his wife sent him a message, "Leave that righteous man alone. I have suffered much today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to kill Jesus. The governor said, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" "Barabbas," they replied. Pilate said, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Crucify him." But he said, "Why? What wrong has he done?" But they shouted even louder, "Crucify him!" Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere and that a riot was starting. So he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It's your problem." All the people replied, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus whipped, then handed him over to be crucified. The governor's soldiers took Jesus into the governor's house, and they gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a red military coat on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put a stick in his right hand, then they bowed down in front of him and mocked him, saying, "Hey, King of the Jews!" After they spit on him, they took the stick and struck his head again and again.
when they finished mocking him, they stripped him of the military coat and put his own clothes back on him. They led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they found Simon, the man from Cyrene. They forced him to carry his cross. When they came to a place called Golgotha, which means skull place, they gave Jesus wine mixed with vinegar to drink. But after tasting it, he didn't want to drink it. After they crucified him, they divided up his clothes among them by drawing lots. They sat there guarding him. They placed above his head the charge against him. It read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." They crucified him with two outlaws, one on his right side and one on his left. Those who were walking by insulted Jesus, shaking their heads and saying, "So you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, were you? Save yourself. If you are God's son, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the legal experts and the elders, were making fun of him, saying, "He saved others, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel, so let him come down from the cross now. Then we'll believe in him. He trusts in God, so let God deliver him now if he wants to. He said, 'I'm God's son.'" The outlaws who were crucified with him insulted him in the same way. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, the whole earth was dark. At about 3, Jesus cried out with a loud shout, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you left me?" After hearing him, some standing there said, "He's calling Elijah." One of them ran over, took a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a pole. He offered it to Jesus to drink. But the rest of them said, "Let's see if Elijah will come and save him." And Jesus cried out with a loud shout. Then he died.
Look, the curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised. After Jesus' resurrection, they came out of their graves and went into the holy city, where they appeared to many people. When the centurions and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and what had just happened, they were filled with awe and said, "This was certainly God's Son." Many women were watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to serve him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mothers of Zebedee's sons. That evening, a man named Joseph came. He was a rich man from Arimathea who had become a disciple of Jesus. He came to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate gave him permission to take it. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had carved out of the rock. After he rolled a large stone at the door of the tomb, he went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting in front of the tomb.
We have been on a journey together throughout Lent, learning about God's desire for a relationship with us. This morning, we were reminded to what lengths the Lord was willing to go. Jesus was willing to take that journey from palms to passion. We did start with the short narrative of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, where the final days of his ministry and his life on earth were spent. However, the bulk of the service was retelling the passion of Jesus Christ, which was filled with betrayal, denial, condemnation, mockery, abandonment, beatings, and yes, crucifixion. Often we focus on the triumphal entry on this Sunday because we are drawn to celebration, and we should be. But the larger part of the overall narrative of this final week of Jesus' life reveals the depth of separation between humanity and God that displays the need for the Messiah, our Lord, the one who saves. In my studies, one source compared the triumphal entry to a spring day in Chicago, which is really no different from what we experience here in Southwest Ohio. Spring here brings one warm day, which gives us hope that the winter coats, gloves, and hats can be stored away. But oh no, the next several days are hovering around the freezing mark. The triumphal entry is that one day of hope, followed by disbelief and disappointment in the happenings in the days that followed. Now, the entry into Jerusalem is important. And Jesus planned it out. Jesus entered Jerusalem knowing the prophecies about the Messiah that had been passed down for generations, and He would fulfill them. You see, Jesus began revealing who He was through His actions, knowing that this Passover festival would be different from all the others. Jesus also knew the celebration in Jerusalem wasn't all about Him. It was about all the Jewish pilgrims arriving, singing psalms of praise every year. Those who noticed Jesus coming on the donkey and were anticipating that this Passover would reveal the Messiah would have been wondering with excitement, could this be? Is this the one? Is this the one who saved? Jesus was aware His time was short. So after entering Jerusalem, He spent the first 3 days teaching and preparing His disciples for continuing the mission and ministry of Christ. He emphasized prayer, watchfulness for mission, caution of false teachers, and readiness for suffering. He connects a woman's expression of love and devotion through anointing Him with expensive perfume to His burial preparations. Jesus told His disciples they would abandon Him and deny Him, and after He is risen, He would come for them. And knowing His betrayer was with Him at the Passover meal, Jesus shared that His death was crucial in God's redemptive provisions as the new covenant of God is made through Him. Jesus wanted His disciples to trust fully in God's plan of salvation. Jesus wants all people to accept God's plan of salvation, to be redeemed through Christ's sacrifice and reconciled into the family of God. We must know that Jesus' obedience through suffering and death marked the reversal of the disobedience which began with Adam and continued through all of the subsequent generations leading up to us. The cross of Christ is where God identified Himself with us, the transgressors, the sinners, and took upon Himself the death merited by human rebellion. It is there on the cross that redemption is realized. Jesus did not die for His debt to sin, but to overcome a reality created by humanity to which He submitted. He died for all who trust in His obedience to God's will. Do we truly recognize our need to be saved from ourselves, our need to be freed from selfish destruction? Do we believe humanity, all of creation, is broken and that the brokenness created a chasm, an unfillable gap separating humanity from God? If so, do we accept that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, sent as the way, the truth, and the life, given to not only restore human relationship with God, but to offer eternal life in a relationship with God? Do we embrace the love and grace of Jesus Christ, who willfully gave Himself as the perfect and final sacrifice, being nailed to a cross to bridge the gap between us and God? This week of the Christian calendar is called Holy Week. It's a remembrance of that week in history we just retold, where God, through Jesus' holiness, made a way to offer holiness through Him to all who believe in who Jesus is and what He has done. So this week, we are to remember the passion of our Savior for us personally. Where do we find ourselves in the story? I invite you to spend time this week reflecting on the scriptures that we read today. Sit with Jesus at the table. Pray with Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Witness His arrest. Consider His suffering even before the cross. Carry His cross to Calvary. Imagine the mocking and the weeping at the cross. And then join Mary as Jesus is placed in the tomb. Do these things this week with a desire to fully appreciate the depth of God's love for us in preparation for that celebration of Easter next week. See, we weren't burdened by the cross, but we are supposed to remember the cross and what Jesus did on that cross. You see, we don't have an empty tomb without it. Amen.
Oh.
Thank you very much, choir. Please rise for our closing hymn, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross, number 301 in your hymnal. We'll sing verses 1 and 2.